Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spillbelk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and forget to take a picture, and then take a picture of the empty bowl after we ate it all.
This is our fried rice episode, which, you know, I kind of forgot that we hadn't done a fried rice episode because we talked about fried rice in our first episode.
Literally our first episode.
Which was fried eggs.
Yes.
And we ate those fried eggs on top of kimchi fried rice,
yes.
Right? Is that how it came up? But we've never done a fried rice episode.
No.
And I'm excited to be here. I feel committed to my job. I feel...
All right.
I feel high sense of job satisfaction today.
Good.
I'm ready to fill out
my... Well, it is time for your annual review.
Great.
So what would you say are some of your goals for the next year at this position?
Make more fried rice.
Okay. I was going to say make more money.
Oh, I don't know if that's actually going to happen.
Probably not.
I'll be honest. Make more fried rice. Get funnier.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that this is a comedy show.
Okay.
So like more fiery rants. Always more fiery rants. But like maybe, I don't know.
More fiery wok cooking.
Yeah. How do I balance my sense that the apocalypse is nigh with my desire to... be funnier and remember that this is a comedy show.
I think maybe some sort of VR helmet.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Uh-huh. I mean, doesn't your partner like work at a VR helmet store?
She does. No, she works for Oculus, which doesn't make VR helmets. They make VR headsets.
Oh yeah, that's
really
extremely different.
Can I tell you something that I found kind of funny? And I don't know. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. But I was telling Ash that I'm trying to take up like a meditating practice again.
Mm-hmm.
I've been dealing with like some anxiety because of my writing.
Hey, join the club.
Writing makes me so. Mary Carr, the writer Mary Carr, has likened writing a memoir, if you're doing it well, to punching yourself repeatedly in the face. And oh my God, I am. In that right now, I've been punching myself in the face so much.
Have you considered writing like a sitcom pilot instead?
Maybe when I'm done. But anyway, yesterday I re-downloaded the Headspace app, which is not an advertiser on our show. But gosh, Headspace, you want to advertise with us? I did Headspace for the first time in like 2 years yesterday, and then I told Ash about it.
It sounds like some sort of futuristic drug from like a sci-fi novel. Like, have you done Headspace? We're all doing Headspace, man.
It seems like something that would be in like the Three Stigmata of Palmer Eldritch or something.
Exactly. What are you talking about?
Oh, oh God. Who
You've
was
mentioned
that written
this
by?
Before.
Oh,
is it like a Philip K. Dick or something?
It is. It's Philip K. Dick.
Boom.
All
right. This episode's done. We're not going to hit anything.
It's not going to get better.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I told Ash because, you know, one of the great benefits of meditating is that you get to brag about meditating.
Oh, that's this morning I was listening to a podcast in which the following exchange took place. It was Jordan Jesse Go. So I've switched from coffee to green tea. Oh, how you feeling? More relaxed? No, just better than everyone.
Yeah. Yes. You know, when Ash and I were sort of debriefing before bed last night, I told herself.
Mm-hmm.
I told her proudly that I had meditated.
One time.
And then she was like, you know, you should borrow my, like, Oculus, whatever it is that she...
Helmet.
Whatever that...
VR helmet.
...headset
it's
is.
Called.
Anyway, she was like, there's a really cool, like, meditation program on there. And I was like, isn't that, like...
Cheating.
And she was like, but VR is, like... an experience. Like, we experience it differently from like reading or watching TV. Like, it's, and I was like, you have drunk the Kool-Aid.
Oh, for sure.
Anyway, listeners, could you weigh in? Like, I just feel like meditating, you know, meditating with my eyes closed, meditating with my eyes open.
Okay, wait.
These seem like the good old way to meditate. I don't think I should meditate with a VR headset on.
But I don't think it's fair to weigh in on this unless you have actually tried it both ways, helmet and no helmet.
It's not a helmet.
That's actually their slogan. It's not a Oculus. It's not a helmet. Delivered in the voice of Janet from The Good Place.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I think fried I interrupted.
Rice. Fried rice. Let's just talk about fried rice. This episode was suggested by listener Ruchi.
Oh, thank you, listener Ruchi.
Who has suggested episodes before.
Yeah, this is not Ruchi's first rodeo.
No, it's not.
Do I remember any of her previous rodeos? No. But no. I think she did a great job, acquitted herself well at those rodeos. Thank you, Ruchi.
Nice use of acquittal.
Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. So I grew up with, I remember a lot of like Chinese American restaurant fried rice, which usually consisted of rice with, fried rice with peas, like dark soy sauce. So it comes out brown, peas, carrots, like frozen, and like diced barbecue pork, Chinese barbecue pork.
Okay.
And I loved it.
Oh, what is not to love about that? And was the rice, like there was not a lot of char going on in this, I'm sure, right?
No, because like it was made in large quantities, I think.
And it's pretty fluffy, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yes. Like good texture. The peas had their integrity.
Yeah, it's made.
It's like rice with confetti sprinkled through it. Like I can see how colorful it is. It's so pretty.
Oh,
a good
Chinese
restaurant fried rice.
Yeah.
Chinese American restaurant, I should say.
So how about you? Did you grow up with fried rice?
I did not grow up with fried rice at home. My dad did have a wok, and it was a nice, like, carbon steel, well-seasoned wok. And I'm struggling to remember what he made in there. I think that we definitely went through, like, a stir-fry period of time with, like, chicken and snow peas.
Mm. I've been going through a stir-fry period of time for, like, the last 25 years or so.
Anyway, but I never had fried rice at home. It's something I would get, at Hunan.
Cassidy Square.
In Cassidy
Oklahoma
Square.
City.
Anyway,
by the time you hear this, we've been there. Not to Hunan, but to Cassidy Square.
And I think of shrimp fried rice.
Oh, for sure.
And in retrospect, you know, from now having, like, grocery shopped and cooked shrimp as a grown-up, I'm pretty sure all the shrimp that we were eating was frozen.
Yeah.
Right? It always has like that different texture, different like kind of.
Right. Especially like if it's preserved with like sodium tripolyphosphate, it gets a little slippery. And
oh God, but it's delicious.
It's good though. Yeah.
So good. And I just think about like, for some reason, fried rice was a very visual
It really
food
is.
To
yeah.
Because like, kid.
There aren't a lot of things we eat that you could describe as being studded with other ingredients, but fried rice is one of them.
Well, I guess if you were lucky enough to like grow up in a culture that had like all sorts of delicious rice dishes with like dried fruits and nuts in them, you would grow up with things that were studded.
Yeah. We had biryani on a recent episode. It was the chicken and rice episode. That was studded,
I
think.
That was studded.
With
yeah.
like little cardamom pods and stuff. Yeah.
I think the only thing that I was studded in my childhood was like,
like,
no, was probably like, I don't know, some dumb craft project I did with oranges and cloves, you know, like,
sure. But I mean, isn't like a clove studded orange, like something you put in a punch bowl? What
you could put in a punch bowl, or I think sometimes people like use it as a centerpiece
right,
or something.
Right, of course, like. For the holidays.
I tried making one with June this year, and they really hurt your fingers. Mm. It really hurts to push those cloves in there. It
sounds kind of meditative.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely bragged about it afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would. Yeah. Like if I studded a whole orange.
We didn't stud the whole orange, but I bragged about like the 10 studs we put in there.
Did you
know what was studded in my childhood?
What?
Walls.
I was just going to say, do you have an electronic stud finder?
Oh, my God. Now we're going to get into stud finding jokes.
No, definitely not. I love my electronic stud finder.
I don't have an electronic stud finder.
It was like probably like $12 at the carpenter store, hardware store.
You know, I learned the knocking method, which not
works,
foolproof.
It's not foolproof, but like neither is the electronic stud finder.
It's not?
No, the only foolproof way of finding studs is x-ray vision. And I sent away for those goggles in the back of a comic and still waiting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mainly intended to use them to see through walls and find studs.
Oh, of course. That's the only thing you can use them
Pretty
for.
Pretty much, yeah.
Matthew, will you give me some knowledge?
Okay.
About fried
so,
rice.
So fried rice is leftover rice that's been stir-fried or sautéed.
Oh.
And is that the knowledge you were looking for?
I want more. Give me more.
And it was first, the first attestations of fried rice are during the Sui dynasty in China from about 581 to 618 AD.
Wow. I mean, that sounds right. If you are growing rice, you're probably going to fry rice.
Yeah. I mean, if you have some sort of high heat cooking method available mm-hmm. to you and you have this leftover rice, yeah, what else are you going to do? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you can eat it cold.
And you can't microwave it. So
why not?
Just go on.
Oh, you mean in the... Wait, no.
In the Sui dynasty.
I genuinely forgot I was just talking about the Sui dynasty, and I thought you meant, like, I can't microwave it for some reason, because I totally can.
No, you can microwave it.
All right, cool.
I thought you were making a dumb joke.
I was...
You were just being dumb.
I was just literally being dumb.
Okay.
So one of my favorite things written about fried rice is by John Thorne, who we've mentioned on the show many times.
Cranky old John Thorne.
Cranky old John Thorne in his collection Mouth Wide Open. I want to read at some length from his piece called Walk Fragrant in the book Mouth Wide Open. When you wanted something to eat on a long train trip in China in the 1930s, what you got most likely was fried rice. The ingredients, cooked rice, eggs, scallions, seasonings, were easy to store, and the dish required only a few moments to make. Cooking oil was heated to smoking in a large wok. The rice and bits of scallion were tossed in, resulting in a burst of sizzling as the damp surface of the rice evaporated. The cook tossed this around for a moment until all the rice was lightly seared in this manner. Then he pushed this up the wok's sides and poured a beaten egg onto the freed up surface. With a few rapid twists of his spatula, this mass was first scrambled and then broken into pieces, which were quickly mixed into the rice. Finally, he dribbled over some soy sauce, rice wine, and toasted sesame oil, and with one quick motion scooped everything smoking hot into an eating bowl and was ready to start on the next order.
Mm.
Nice, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it probably wasn't a great job, but if you were eating it, that was great.
That sounds fantastic. Don't you wish that we got that kind of food
on a train?
On a train.
Like on the light rail in Seattle?
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Do you remember in the movie Singles, which you and I are the only two people in the world who remember the movie Singles. Do you remember when he's trying to pitch the super train to the mayor of Seattle, Tom Skerritt?
You get great coffee.
Yeah, you get great coffee, good music, all the things people in Seattle want. What he didn't pitch was fried rice.
Then Tom Skerritt would have said yes.
The super train would have succeeded.
Yep, absolutely. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
Third Love's bras and underwear are going to fit you beautifully. Do you know why, Matthew?
I do, but I want you to tell me anyway.
They've used real women's measurements to design them. I mean, it seems so obvious, but you've got to do that, and not everybody does that.
Can you find a great fitting bra online?
Yes. They've got this online fit finder quiz, which is pretty fun. You get to look at line drawings and decide which one most closely resembles your breast shape and stuff like that. It's kind of fun. I think I learned that I'm athletic, which is the only time someone's ever told me I'm athletic.
Nice.
And anyway, and then here's the thing. Once you order them, you can wear them, wash them, all that jazz. Send it back within the first 30 days if you don't like it, and you lost nothing except the shipping.
That seems almost inadvisably generous on their part.
I agree. You know what? I recently got some cotton underwear from Third Love.
Oh, nice.
And I really like them. I wore them yesterday, in fact.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So to get your own and to get 15% off your first order, go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk and find your perfect fitting bra.
That's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk for 15% off today.
Let's talk about how to make it.
Yeah.
Please. All right. So first, the first question that you may be asking yourself is, which rice do I use?
So so the only thing that I know for sure, I'm like that back page in the Oprah magazine, isn't it? This I know for sure.
I don't think I've ever actually read the Oprah magazine.
Isn't this something that Oprah says?
I'm sure you're right.
Anyway, whatever. But you definitely need leftover rice. You definitely need leftover rice. You shouldn't use fresh rice.
You are going to get in so much trouble for dismissing Oprah in that fashion.
And the reason why is you need the rice to be a little bit dried out.
Yes.
Right? In order to fry properly.
Yeah. So friend of the show, Kenji Lopez-Alt, did a little investigating. We'll link to an article that he wrote about fried rice for Serious Eats. And found that there are two, like, if you use like leftover cold rice, like two things have happened. It's dried out and it's cold. Mm. And he was wondering, are both of those things necessary? And what he found was, no, only the dried out is necessary.
Mm, so if you take
freshly cooked rice and like spread it out in a thin layer and like blow it with a blow dryer for a little bit, it's ready to fry.
Oh, have you tried it?
I have not tried it.
Oh, but, interesting.
But ever since reading that, I've made sure to not just throw the rice, cooked rice, into a sealed container right away.
I wonder, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait, you didn't finish your sentence here on the agenda. Instead, lay it out flat on a baking sheet or plate. Were you going to write the blow dryer on there?
Oh, maybe I was going to write the blow dryer on there.
So how do I know when it's dry enough, though? That's my question.
When it you can crumble it. So when it's no longer like sticky together in a mass and you can like break it apart with your hands.
Okay. And so are then like sort of types of rice that are like less glutinous, are they then better for fried rice?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, up to a point, yes. Like you don't want to use actual like sticky rice for fried rice. The short grain rice that I usually buy is stickier than long grain rice, but it works fine for fried rice as long as you are sure to like dry it well before you cover the container and put it away.
Was that Calrose that we had today?
Uh-huh.
What do you mean by dry it well?
So either like refrigerate it in an uncovered container in a thin layer, or do the blow dryer thing.
Wow. God. Okay. All right. I never thought about
you're
that.
Right. The main thing not to do is throw it into a container and cover it.
But you don't
right
want to do that
right.
anyway.
Because then it stays in the danger zone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is there any particular type of rice that is better or worse?
So I have come to feel like
for fried rice,
if the rice is good for eating plain, it's going to make good fried rice.
Okay. So that seems like almost any rice.
Probably a rice that would not be as good for fried rice would be like a rice porridge or already fried rice, leftover fried rice. I mean, you could make like sort of a postmodern fried rice with that.
What about wild rice?
Probably. I mean,
it would be fine.
It would be good.
It's just
right?
a different thing.
It would be a different thing, but I think it'd be tasty.
Yeah. I don't see why it wouldn't be.
Barley?
Sure. Fried barley. That doesn't have the same ring to it.
It doesn't have the same ring to it, but I bet it would be tasty. Like, you know, it's a way of like being thrifty in the kitchen that also tastes good. So
fried kasha.
What are you thrifty in the kitchen?
I try, but I do have more food
fried
waste
kasha.
Than I wish I did.
Remember the time we attempted to make kasha?
Yes.
It was so bad and sad because we did it wrong.
Terrible. Oh,
it was not kasha's fault. It was
100%
our fault. We love kasha.
Kesha. We love kasha.
This episode is brought to you by Anolon.
Did you know that I used my Anolon 10-inch nonstick skillet last night, Matthew?
Did you know I did too?
You did?
Actually, it was two nights ago.
What did you make?
Fried eggs.
Me too. It is seriously, you know, I like to always keep a nonstick skillet around, especially for eggs. I don't think I've ever had one that has been as resistant to scratching and that has been as like thoroughly nonstick. It's a
yes.
great skillet.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to give the idea that this pan is only good for making fried eggs because I've made a bunch of other stuff in it and it all comes out good.
Pancakes.
But boy,
I made a lot of pancakes.
The Anolon skillets are like a fried egg machine.
Yep. And what I really like knowing about it is that it's got a lifetime warranty because, you know, no matter how careful you are in the kitchen, eventually, especially if you cook a lot, you might need that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that the handle is so comfortable. I feel like they made it just for my hand.
Aww. Did you know that you can shop Anolon's cookware sets, baking tools, and like even pasta makers and stuff at Macy's?
And culinary torches.
Oh, I forgot. Sorry, I forgot about the culinary torches.
Anolon, designed for creativity in the kitchen.
Okay, so Matthew, are there like backbone aromatics or backbone ingredients that you believe you have to do a fried rice?
Okay, they are.
And then I'll tell you if you're right or not.
Great. Okay, this is a quiz. this is like
you tell me what you believe.
On an upcoming episode, I like nail you with a little gotcha journalism, and so I think you're like doing it to
it
me
was
preemptively.
So little gotcha journalism that I don't even really remember what it was.
You're right.
And we just recorded it like 45 minutes ago.
So look forward to that next week. Okay. So what was the question?
So Matthew, are there
backbone aromatics?
Yes.
Ginger, scallions, I don't always do garlic, but garlic is also great.
Okay. I put like a fried rice formula in my book, Delancey.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that recipe.
And I, at the time, you know, that recipe was authentic to what we were making at the time, which is that we didn't often have, we were not in a period of our lives when we were in the habit of buying ginger and scallions. So we didn't always have them. And we were using fried rice mostly as like a way to use up what we did have.
I feel like the way you just used authentic, it's like you're trying to weasel out of being accused of something, but no one accused you of anything.
No, but I'm always ready.
I mean, it may not be authentic, but it's authentic to the way we make it.
No, I'm just saying, I think now that we could have done it better if we had ginger and scallions. And I think that...
But didn't you have like pulled pork in yours?
Yeah.
Because that sounds pretty good.
Well, because what we would often do is, I think this barbecue restaurant called Bitterroot had just opened in Seattle. And Brandon and I were not cooking at home a lot around this time. And so... we would, I don't know, once every couple of weeks, we'd go to Bitterroot and you could get this big like sample platter there.
Yes.
And we would eat some of it and then we would bring home the rest. And there was always a lot, like barbecued brisket or pork or whatever. And then it was really easy to, you know, have some leftover rice or something, have some sort of like green vegetable and chuck it all in the wok together with like fish sauce, a little bit of soy sauce. I think that it was not, it didn't have that same like Chinese American restaurant taste that, that I think we often look for, but it was delicious.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a very adaptable dish.
Of course.
Again, if you want to use barley.
Do you think that so your rice today, you were feeling a little bit sad about the fried rice we just ate.
I felt like it was a little on the sticky side, probably because I didn't dry it enough before sticking it in the fridge.
Okay.
Or possibly I made it with a little too much water when I first cooked it. I don't want to like scare people into thinking that fried rice is hard to do because it was still very, very tasty.
Do you believe that the rice needs to like have a look of char on it? Because I don't think you often see that in a typical American Chinese restaurant.
No, I don't think it has to have a look of char on it, but I think it's good if it has a hint of char that you can taste.
And then it also gives like a teeny bit of chewiness.
Yeah,
right?
I like that
a lot.
Which
is nice.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. So what's your favorite fried rice combo?
Okay, so my favorite fried rice combo is probably... like some kind. So the aromatics that I mentioned, that's the backbone. We already covered the backbone thing. Some kind of meat, I think I use like some pork belly, but I often will use Chinese sausage. It's really good. Mm-hmm. Any kind of sausage is good. Mm-hmm. Any kind of leftover meat is very good in fried rice, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Unless it was like something very saucy. Mm-hmm. Egg, I prefer on top versus cooked in bits, but I do like both. Mm-hmm. Kimchi fried rice is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. With bacon?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I made that a few days ago and it was great.
And your kimchi fried rice, maybe this is typical of many kimchi fried rice, but yours uses a teeny bit of sesame oil, just like a teaspoon for, I don't know, 4 cups of rice or something.
Sure.
And a little bit of butter at the end. And
yes.
Butter is so good with kimchi.
Oh, it really is. Yes. I did not originate either of those ideas.
No, I'm sure we are not the first people to observe that these flavors go well together.
Okay. So aromatics, like, I don't know if these count as aromatics, but I think soy sauce and rice wine. Like if Thai fried rice is also awesome, and like, you know, for that you're gonna go fish sauce and or like green curry fried rice is popular.
I don't think I've ever had it.
So like a, you know, a little bit of green curry paste is really good in fried rice.
Oh, cool. Okay. Hey, so in terms of like just a general template for fried rice, you know, obviously you're gonna get the thing hot. You're gonna add the oil.
You get the thing hot.
Get the thing hot. Whatever that.
Yeah,
whatever.
Rub it down with that oil,
and then put the oil in. Then you're gonna do your aromatics.
Yeah.
Right. And then the rice.
Yeah.
Oh. At what
aromatics would be a good name for like a soul band or a cappella band?
At what point would you add in, like, let's say that you are gonna put some sort of other vegetables in there, like peas or carrots or or your meat? Like, at what point do you add these things in? Because
okay, so the meat, like, I usually want to get a little extra browning on it. Mm-hmm. So that'll go in, like, along, like, before or along with, or, like, bacon, like, needs to, like, render a little bit. That'll go in at the beginning.
Okay.
And then, like, if it's, like, frozen peas and carrots, which are very good in fried rice, mm-hmm. like especially if you're shooting for the classic Chinese American restaurant style, those can go in like along with the rice. They don't need to pre-cook.
Right. And you're just warming those anyway.
Right. If it's a vegetable that needs to like cook at all, like, you know, kimchi should also go in early and like cook some of the liquid out of it and get it a little caramelized. Mm-hmm. If you want to do like cabbage is really good, that should also go in early.
Okay. Snow peas. What about something like snow peas?
Yeah, I'd get a little color on that before you put the rice in.
Okay. Okay. And you don't think they'll get overcooked or leathery?
I don't think so.
Okay. I mean, you're moving it all around quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, and like, you know, just like, you know, 30 seconds in a hot wok.
Yes.
So like this is, I have occasionally made a fried rice recipe where they're like, you know, you don't have to use high heat. I think use high heat. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you cook it fast, you get a little sear on it. It's high heat cooking.
Well, and it seems to me that who is it? Grace Young, who wrote the book The Breath of the Wok?
Yes.
Breath of a Wok and Stir Frying to the Sky's Edge.
That's the one.
She's written wonderful books. It seems to me that the Breath of the Wok, like, you need high heat for that.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like integral to the idea of wok cooking.
Yeah, and really, like, the breath of the wok flavor in this case, I think it's coming from, like, the char on the rice, mm-hmm. but also, like, the flavor of, like, slightly burnt soy sauce is one of my favorite flavors.
Yeah.
Because, like, you don't want it to be saucy. You want, like, that soy sauce flavor to have, like, you know, given all it can and then, you know, like, disappear into the ether.
The ephemeral soy sauce flavor.
Yeah.
Matthew,
yeah.
I'm getting the after lunch sleepies.
Yeah. I'm sure the whispering helps a lot.
Yeah, it does. It lulls me right to sleep.
Yep. And you don't want to keep the rice moving nonstop. Like this, I think it is like, if there's one thing I could teach the world about cooking, it's when you're stir frying, especially on a home stove that doesn't produce like, you know, wok acrobatic levels of BTUs, you know, use that by not stirring constantly, letting things sear a little bit, then getting under it with the spatula and flipping it around.
Yes. I want to remind the listener that both you and I have crappy electric stoves.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't need, you know, you don't need your fancy like gas restaurant grade stove.
No, I live in a crappy apartment, and I'm sure my manager buys the cheapest stoves you can possibly buy.
I have a electric stove from...
Oh, my like, manager doesn't listen to the show.
I have an electric stove from the 60s. It's a four burner, and one of the burners, part of it is broken off, and so it kind of like wobbles around, and you can't use it. One of the burners doesn't work on high, mm-hmm. and all the other settings are also like a little bit too cool. Like it doesn't...
That's what I look for in a stove, coolness.
Anyway, like, I get that you can do hot burner,
but can you do cool?
Of the four burners, it only has two that properly function. So if I can cook on this thing... And
if Molly can cook on her stove, then you can cook on Molly's stove too.
Seriously.
Here's her address.
Please come take my stove and leave me a new one.
Oh, that's how it works. It's like some sort of reverse burglary.
No, but every time I manage to execute dinner on this thing, which is every night, I'm like, woo! Stuck the landing again.
Mm-hmm. Woo! Reverse burglary.
Right. Two burners and I did it.
Two burners, no waiting.
Mm-hmm. I usually do like a one burner dinner anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a two or multiple burner kind of dinner person.
I feel
person.
Like I often have two burners going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had
two. Like today, I fried rice on one burner and fried eggs on another.
I had two burners going last night because I made chilaquiles. Mm-hmm. The chilaquiles from the rotisserie chicken episode, which were awesome.
We
by
spent
the way.
So much time in that episode talking about enchiladas, and I'm like, I don't really have an enchilada recipe. I'm just going to give this chilaquiles recipe instead because it's better.
It's really good.
It's our show. We can do that.
So I made those, and then on the other burner, oh no, I still only used one burner because.
Okay.
Because my...
Are you sure you actually have two working burners?
I'm not sure.
Is it possible
anymore.
You just have one? Is it possible you have no working burners, but you're hallucinating a lot?
It's possible that I'm just breathing really hard on the bottom of my pot and managing to fry eggs in it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it, seriously, sometimes, hold on, can I just do an Instagram rant for a second?
Oh, yes.
When I see people with their newly renovated homes with their ridiculous, like, fancy appliances
would
everywhere.
Would you go so far as to say redonkulous?
And I'm not just saying this because I'm jealous, mm-hmm. okay?
But that is part of the reason.
But no, I'm really like, but guys, we don't need this. Let's be real.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I know. Newsflash.
However, now I was picking on my apartment management for buying cheap stoves, but they recently gave us a new dishwasher after our dishwasher broke, and the new dishwasher is so great.
Really?
Yeah.
My dishwasher is not great.
Do you want to borrow mine?
I was just staying.
You can just come over, bring some dishes anytime.
I was just on
this goes to you for you listeners too.
I was on a writing retreat, staying in the home of another writer. Shout out to Deborah Harkness, the author of the All Souls trilogy.
Oh, thanks, Deborah, for putting Molly up.
Deborah, I've never met her, but through a friend, she let me stay at her house.
Did you
right
leave a
there
nice gift
for 10 days? I left her a very heartfelt note.
Mm-hmm. That's a reverse burglary.
Anyway, she had a Gen Air dishwasher
mm-hmm.
that was so good. I mean, I knew my dishwasher at home, which is an Electrolux. And
is
it's not
Gen
even
Air
that
a premium brand?
I don't know.
I don't either.
But anyway, my dishwasher at home is an Electrolux, and it's like maybe like 5 years old. It is terrible. Like, I'm regularly pulling dishes out of there that still have food all over them. Deb, I feel like I can call her Deb because that's how she signed her emails.
Okay.
Deb's dishwasher. I take back everything I just said about people with newly renovated kitchens because Deb's dishwasher and stove were so superior to mine. I take it all back. I'm just jealous.
More like Electra sucks. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we take back all of that. Like we are not people of the people. Wolf, Blue Star.
We want all
Viking.
The fancy things. We want all the fancy things. Somebody sponsor us.
Having said that, you really cannot beat like a $25 carbon steel wok for wok cooking.
Yeah. No, that makes you can't beat a cast iron pan.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think we talked about this recently. Like I recently got a new cast iron pan. It was at Target. I think it was on sale for like $13, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. a Lodge cast iron pan. Like you can't get a better pan than that.
No,
I know
you cannot.
I sound like a different. Like I felt like I feel like I sound like one kind of asshole. Like like 10 seconds ago, and now I've just morphed into a slightly different kind of asshole.
Well, Ash and I often talk about so like near bedtime, June like starts. We call it her rapid cycling. She starts going through all the different emotions and behaviors.
Oh, my mom
really
called
rapidly.
That the arsenic hour.
Oh, yeah, it's June's rapid cycling.
Wow, yes.
And you and I pretty much just rapidly cycled through a whole bunch of personalities.
Yes, but none of them were likable personalities.
No, absolutely not. I want to delete this whole part of the show and start over.
No, we're keeping it.
Oh.
Yeah, but this dishwasher, like, it plays a little song when it's done. Like, it
really?
has like, different cycles that all probably do the same thing, but it's so fun to select them.
Deb's dishwasher?
It's quiet.
It, like, the dish rack, the upper rack, kind of naturally, like, slides out. If you just barely touch it, it's like, oh, you wanted me to come out. And
mine doesn't do that, but it holds so much more than the old dishwasher, but it takes up the same amount of space. It's magic. It's like a Klein bottle in there.
What's a Klein bottle?
It's like a 3D Mobius strip.
Oh, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway, so I take it all back. My 2.5 working burners are not enough for me.
No, I think they are.
I think they definitely are.
I think you make great dinners for your family all the time, and I'm very proud of you.
Oh, thanks, Matthew. Oh, my God, this show just got so earnest. We are rapidly cycling.
Yeah, I realized I was serious, but I think it sounded like I was being facetious, but I wasn't, actually.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I do work hard to show love to my family mm-hmm. through cooking.
Yeah, we do our best, and some small percentage of the time, that's good enough.
Yeah. This episode was brought to you by Anolon Gourmet Cookware.
And whether you're impressing your friends or just cooking up some eggs for yourself at home, there is no better way to do it than with Anolon's full line of gourmet cookware.
Shop all their stuff, all of it, pasta makers, culinary torches, baking tools at Macy's.
Anolon, designed for creativity in the kitchen. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com. I'll write up a recipe for fried rice, despite the fact that I have like 12 minutes to do that between now and the time we leave for Oklahoma City, which we'll be back from by the time you hear this. Mm-hmm. And you know what? No. I'm just going to link to Kenji's fried rice article on Serious Eats that has like a method that'll work for like a variety of different fried rices.
Nobody can do it better than Kenji anyway.
That's what I always say.
Yeah.
And you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. What do you like to put in your fried rice? Mm-hmm. You can find
What are your backbone aromatics?
Yeah, what are your backbone aromatics? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like this could be a line of colognes.
What does your backbone smell like?
I mean, hopefully, like it's got a good funk.
Soap?
Or, yeah, so some combination of like a soap and a good funk.
Okay. Are you going to call your good funk band the Aromatics?
Is that what you were building up to earlier? Thank you.
Yeah.
like you know, you showered this morning, but now, like, you know, you got like your, never mind.
Okay.
Got way too personal. Our producer is Abby Circatella. You know, we're on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast. I think we post about once, twice a year, but it's always a real event when we do.
We do. Sometimes.
And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. We're about two burners short of a full stove.
I'm Molly Weisberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
Oh, I had a funky clown nose.
Uh-huh.
Okay.